Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, people? I'd like to welcome you all to It's Real Talk Radio. I'm your host, Tay Real, and I'm here to give my week one review of the opening NFL season. Week one had a lot of excitement, a lot of crazy stuff happened, a lot of stuff went down. Oh, where do we even start? Let's start with Thursday night football. Ravens against the Broncos. Now, usually, the Super Bowl winning team gets to open up at home, but because of a issue with the Ravens and the Orioles sharing parking lots and their stadiums being side by side, and the Orioles had a game earlier that day, I guess to avoid pandemonium and all of that traffic and all of that stuff, a bunch of chaos. The NFL did try to, like, actually work it out, but the Orioles didn't agree. From my understanding of things, the Orioles didn't agree to it. And so what I'm thinking should have happened is, like, the Ravens would, okay, well, if it can't be done that day, like, they the Super Bowl winning champions. They earned the right to open up at home. They earned that right. So, I mean, just let them play Sunday night and replace whoever plays Sunday night, Thursday night, to do something like that. Instead, they made the Ravens open up in Denver, the Super Bowl winning champs, who defeated Denver last year in the playoffs, opened up on the road in Denver against Peyton Manning and the high-powered Denver Broncos offense with newly added Wes Welker. Now, man, do we even need to talk about that game? I mean, all right. So, what I'm trying to understand, right? What I'm trying to get through my head is the Ravens' off-season decision making. Now, I understand that they have a salary cap thing, and you know, you can't just go crazy with your money. It got to be spread out and stuff. And you know, I'm not the GM, or I'm not like the accountant of the team or nothing like that. I don't know what the numbers look like, but I just don't understand how you can keep a solid foundation for so long, wait until you win the Super Bowl, and then give away all of your pieces. Like, I don't get it. So everybody, you know, when I had this discussion with people, people are like, well, you know, it's a salary cap issue. And man, I don't be trying to hear that. Look, teams face that every year. It's not one, like, you know, like, every team faces that every year, you know. And that's the team's job, is to put together a solid core and, you know, be able to overcome that and still have a solid team. The Ravens have done an outstanding job over the years, ever since Joe Flacco came there. I mean, even before then, they've had some talented players. Now, they had a few rough years, but for the most part, you know, over the course of the past, like, 7 years or so, like, they have been a solid team, you know? And I don't know. Okay, so you let Ed Reed go. We all know what Ed Reed means to the Ravens. And if anybody's like, okay, you're talking about the Ravens, well, I'm starting off, you know, because that was the first game. But on top of that, yes, I am a Ravens fan. Yes, I was going crazy when the Ravens won the Super Bowl, all of that. So, yeah. So, but you let Ed Reed go. You let Anquan Boldin go. Now, we didn't see Ed Reed in action yet, but we know what Ed Reed is very much capable of. I mean, just his presence alone makes a huge difference. You let Anquan Boldin go, and he only caught, what, 13 catches for over 200 yards and a touchdown in his 49ers debut? Like, are you kidding me? Who else? Kai Williams, the corner, who is very underrated. We've seen what he did last night in the Monday night game. Man. Wow. Paul Kruger, I'm not too mad at that because you got Dumaville. And I like that. I like him. He's a solid addition. And I like the I like the Ravens' pass rush. You know, I like that. I like their pass rush. I like what they got going, their front four. But that performance, along with the off-season decisions, because the off-season decisions helped lead to the performance. Now, it's week one. Every team was pretty much rusty. A lot of other teams were looking better than others, but everybody's rusty. Peyton Manning should have had about, what, two interceptions that were, like, dropped or something. Like, pretty much everybody was kind of rusty, kind of, you know, trying to get that rust out their system that opening week. But for you to win the Super Bowl, and then even though you're opening up in Denver, and it's unfair, totally unfair, something should have been done about that. There's no way the Super Bowl champs, I don't care whose schedule you had to change or what, no way the Super Bowl champs should have to open up on the road. That is like a disgrace to winning the Super Bowl. Like, you win the Super Bowl, that's an honor. No way should you open up on the road. But that's still no excuse for that defensive performance. Like, I mean, yeah, Joe Flacco was rusty. The Ravens' offense was rusty. They made some good plays. But, you know, on the overall scale, they was definitely rusty because Denver has a good defense, but they're not, like, great. They're not like the Pittsburgh Steelers defense of recent years or even the Ravens defense, you know, in my opinion. I mean, they're a good defense. They're solid. They're pretty solid, but they're not great. Not great. So there's no way that Denver's defense should be able to do what they was doing to Flacco and the Ravens offense, not coming off a Super Bowl win and with the weapons Ravens have. But even though I had this argument with a lot of people. Anquan Boldin is a very underrated receiver. Put this on the record. The Ravens would not have won the Super Bowl or probably even went to the Super Bowl without Anquan Boldin. He is underrated. He is not see, everybody's fascinated with the Calvin Johnsons and Larry Fitzgeralds of the world, but Anquan Boldin is a different beast. He's still very effective. And when you have that type of receiver on your offense, it really changes it because he is one of the rare receivers that does not have to be open to be effective. Like, most receivers in the league have to be open to be effective, at least some type of separation. Anquan Boldin can be like, I mean, he could be smothered. And we've seen it happen last year in the playoffs. Big games, he makes big plays. I mean, guy right on him. He just leaps right over him. And the guy will have his hand, the defender will have his hand on the ball. Anquan Boldin, powerful hands, just snatches it right away from them. And then to start trucking people, you know, just doing what Anquan Boldin do. I'm a big Anquan Boldin fan. And I think the Ravens have to be out their mind for letting him go. Because I don't know what they let him go for, but I'm willing to bet it was pennies. I'm willing to bet that they could very much afford to have kept Anquan Boldin. And he was pretty much, I think he was unappreciated. Because I clearly remember him stating that he wanted to retire a Raven. And you let him go, at least he went to the NFC, not the AFC. But he went to the team that you played in the Super Bowl that you know was already a Super Bowl caliber team. They just was there last year. And if the Ravens had not had Anquan Boldin, and he made those big plays down the stretch at the end, like getting those key first downs to help the Ravens drive, stay alive, and their defense tie it out after they were very much cheated, you know, definitely cheated. That was bogus. But without Anquan Boldin, that, I think the 49ers would have, first of all, I don't think the Ravens would have got there. Second of all, even if they did get there, you didn't have that threat. I like Torrey Smith. I'm a Torrey Smith fan, and I'm a huge Jacoby Jones fan, too. But Anquan Boldin is a possession receiver, meaning he does not have to run 40 yards down the field and beat you deep to be effective. He'll just make the key first down. He'll go across the middle and get hit. Just crushed by safety and get right back up. He's tough. Man, oh, man. So, you know, if you're a Ravens fan, anybody that's a Ravens fan will be able to understand my pain. Now, before we move on, I just want to speak on the Super Bowl. That was ridiculous. I didn't get a chance to speak on it because I didn't even have this show back when the Super Bowl happened. But what happened in the Super Bowl, well, I never seen nothing like that in all my days. You got the rate. I mean, the game is pretty much over. I mean, once they came out and Jacoby Jones took that kick return to the house, it was over. The 49ers were out of gas. All of a sudden, the lights magically go out. And to this day, it hasn't been fully explained. And the NFL didn't take the liberty to really step forward and say what really happened. Like, when I was watching, I remember them saying something like an outside source or I don't know, man. It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. And I don't care what team it was, you know, that happened to. That's just messed up. So that alone, and then almost ruined the Super Bowl because the 49ers had all this momentum because the 49ers are very talented. I think they're favorite to go to the Super Bowl. Me, I'm picking Seattle to go for the NFC. But I think either Seattle or the 49ers, one of those two. But it wouldn't surprise me at all because the 49ers pretty much kept that core together and added Anquan Boldin to it. I mean, they're stacked. They are stacked. The 49ers are definitely stacked. But, I just can't stress enough like how messed up that was for the Ravens to face the adversity they did in the Super Bowl, which should have never occurred in the first place, especially for it to not be properly explained, where we can understand, oh, this is what happened. There was really a malfunction or something. It's like, oh, things happen, whatever, moving on. Like, no, man, the Super Bowl almost got ruined. If the 49ers would have won, that would have been the biggest disgrace to football ever. Like, it already was the biggest disgrace, but, like, it would have been 10 times worse. Oh, I just had to do you guys know how long I've been waiting to say this? Like, I didn't have this show. Like, I've been waiting to say this for so long. I've been waiting to reflect. I had to get my opinion out there because it's an outrage. Did he make the Ravens open up on the road? That's an outrage. Now, the performance ain't the NFL's fault. I mean, at the point, there's okay, it is what it is. You got to open up on the road. Okay, well, you know, not much we can do. We gotta do what we got to do. We can't sit here and be babies about it. We opened up in Denver, whatever. We beat them in the playoffs last year. Yeah. I mean, we had Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, Kerry Williams, Anquan Boldin. We had a healthy Dennis Pitt. I mean, we had weapons, the weapons that we don't have now. But, I mean, we beat them. And Peyton Manning went bananas. 7 touchdowns. Listen, 7 touchdown passes is something out of a video game. That was the Ravens on pro against the Broncos against Peyton Manning on All Madden. It was Peyton Manning against the Ravens. Like, Peyton Manning all touchdowns were thrown by Peyton Manning. No running touchdown, no fumble recovery for a touchdown. It would have been an interception recovery, interception for a touchdown, but the guy drops the ball before he gets in the end zone. That was hilarious. I was cracking up. That was probably the biggest highlight of the game for me, with me being a Ravens fan. But Peyton Manning, wow. Like, Peyton Manning went bananas. 7 touchdowns, like, how do you let someone score 7 touchdowns? How do you let someone throw 7 touchdowns? I understand it's rusting all, but no, that's unacceptable. Like, Harbaugh has got to get them boys together quick, get them, like, I don't know, bring Ray Lewis in and let him give them a speech or something. Oh, my gosh. All right, we're going to move on now. Go to NFL.com and check these stats so we can go over what else has been going on. Y'all don't understand. Like, it feels good to be able to get this stuff off my chest. Y'all just don't understand. Whew, man, oh, man, I've been waiting so long to get that off my chest. All right, we had the Patriots versus the Bills. And I didn't get to see that game live, but I think whatever game I was watching, once it ended, they took it to the end of the Patriots Bills game, but, like, you know, they update you with all the scores throughout the league. And I seen where the Patriots were killing the Bills, and the Bills came back and they were winning. And the Bills, as usual, when they got the Patriots against the ropes, they just ran out of gas. They ran out of gas and allowed the Patriots to drive up the field and get the game-winning field goal. And I was just like, wow. most of the time I see it, the Bills have a chance to win, and they got the ball, but they're down maybe 4 points, and they got the ball on the 10-yard line, first down, on the Patriots' 10-yard line. They can't score, can't get 10 yards into the touchdown for a touchdown and lose the game by four. This time, their defense couldn't contain Brady, and they got the game-winning field goal. I believe that's how it ended. There was so much going on. The Patriots just did what the Patriots are accustomed to doing, beating the Bills. Like, the Bills are the New England Patriots punching bag. Like, it has to – I can't imagine being a Bills fan. I don't dislike the Bills. I don't have a reason to, because they're not – like, they haven't been good enough to like or dislike. They just kind of a neutral team. You just kind of just look at them like, oh, it's the Bills. Like, wow. Like, you just shake your head like, man, suck to be a Bills fan, you know. They are the New England Patriots punching bag, man. It's just sad, man. It's sad. Like, I can't imagine being beat by a team that many times and, like, just can't beat them. Like, just can't never beat them. It's crazy. So the Patriots did what the Patriots do. The Titans versus the Steelers. Oh, by the way, I do want to add that the Patriots, you know, I'm not impressed from what I've seen. I know it was only week one. Everybody's rusty. But with them losing Wes Welker, that is huge. Them losing him is definitely huge. And them losing their tight end, and I can't believe I can't remember his name, but you know the guy that's locked up. I'll probably Google his name or something, but everybody knows what I'm talking about. He's a big part of their offense. For him not to be there, and Gronkowski or however you say his name, him being hurt is big too. But not having Wes Welker is like that's going to hurt them. I'm telling y'all now, that's going to come back to haunt them. Don't be surprised if the Patriots aren't better than – I'll give the Patriots 10-6 this year. I'll give them 10-6 because I don't see where the talent is. Now, don't get me wrong. Everybody in the NFL is talented, so not to discredit anybody. But I'm just saying it's how they compared to all of the other solid teams in the NFL. I don't see it. I don't see it. Like, I don't think they're going to be able to beat a solid team. I mean, you can never really count Tom Brady out and Bill Belichick because they always find a way to do it. But this year might be the year that they go downhill. I think they'll kind of sneak into the playoffs. And because it's the Patriots, depending on who they play, they might win the game. I don't see them going to the AFC Championship. I don't see them getting back there. And even if they do by some miracle somehow, I definitely don't see them going to the Super Bowl. Not this year, definitely. So I think they need to add some more additions. Definitely. The Titans versus the Steelers. Man, oh man. That was so sweet. I mean, after seeing the Ravens go down the way they did and to see the Steelers open up the way they did, was like, yes. I mean, they was not looking good. Not looking good at all. So, all you are terrible Tile fans, yeah. Be worried. Be very worried because it's definitely not looking good for you guys this season. And then with the starting center, got like an Achilles heel injury or something like that. Like, it's not looking good, man. Mike Wallace is gone. James Harrison is gone. But, you know, I don't think he's been as effective as he was, you know, a few years ago. But, I mean, he's still a threat. But I can understand them getting rid of him if his production kind of drops and, you know, he's not getting any younger. But, I mean, they just don't look like that same Steelers. And this is only the Titans we're talking about, who I think has a pretty solid defense. But their offense is like, I mean, all they've pretty much got is a running back. I mean, Britt, the guy Britt, you know, the number one receiver, he's good. He's talented. But I don't believe in their running back. I'm not a believer. I'm sorry. It is what it is. I can only give it to you real. And I think if the Titans go 9-7, that's a good year for them. That's a really good year for them. If they go beyond that, that's amazing. That's amazing. If they go beyond 9-7. But I mean, they did open up and they beat the Steelers. So did the Steelers self destruct, or are the Titans just really have become a solid team? I guess time will reveal that, you know. But I'm willing to bet that the Titans are still the Titans of the recent years, and the Steelers have self destructed. That's what I'm willing to bet. Now that Falcons Saints game was good. That Falcons Saints game was very, very, very entertaining. Like that. Now that is what the opening week one should be about. Like those games. Yes, that's what I'm talking about, man. I'm not a Falcons fan. I'm not a Falcons fan. I really dislike the Falcons. I'm not going to lie, but I respect them. I respect them. Because, I mean, they are just solid every year. They're never talked about. It's crazy. 13-3, 14-2, like crazy records. And, like, they don't get talked about that much. And then you go and look, and bam, they're the number one seed. They're the number one seed. And now they're finally talking about them now that the playoffs are here. But they've been hot. I don't know why. I do not understand why the Falcons are a slept-on team with the records they've put up over the last, like, 5 years. Pretty much ever since Matt Ryan got there, they've been pretty much a solid team. And they just get slept on. I guess what, because they don't win playoff games? But, I mean, you cannot ignore or deny what they do in the season. Like, that counts, too, you know? And some teams just have that phase that they go through where they just can't win a playoff game. The Texans were kind of going through that, but they couldn't even – see, the Texans couldn't get to the playoffs. That's the difference. You know, the Falcons would get to the playoffs and just couldn't win the game. And they finally won one last year. And I got to think back hard. From my understanding, I think they got real close to getting to the Super Bowl. I think the 49ers, like, barely beat them from what I remember. But I've had to go back and check. So y'all got to excuse me for not, you know, fully remembering, but then again, I don't have the greatest memory. I promise you that. I would have to, like, really research it. But from me remembering watching it, I was really rooting for the 49ers because I do like the 49ers, and I really, really dislike the Falcons, and I kind of remember it coming down to the wire. So I don't know why the Falcons are still getting slept on, but they are, and you got to give them their props. Now, with that being said, that game was entertaining. I'm a huge Drew Brees fan, and I'm a Saints fan. I am. And it was just a really, really good game. Drew Brees versus Matt Ryan, it doesn't get much better. And ultimately, Drew Brees prevailed. And the Saints defense stepped up at the end the way they needed to and stopped the high-powered Falcons offense from getting into the end zone one last time to win the game. I want to go on record and say I think the Falcons have the best core of receivers in the NFL. Like, their receivers with Gonzalez, I'm drawing a blank right now. I know these guys' names. I don't know why I can't. Julio Jones. And, let me go ahead. Look, oh, my goodness, I cannot believe this is crazy. I can't believe. Roddy White, yeah, there we go. I think they got the most talented receivers in the NFL. As far as their starting receivers, like, I think, yeah. I do. I like, the numbers they put up are ridiculous. And we all know Gonzalez is going to the Hall of Fame. I thought he pretty much guaranteed he was retiring. And then he ends up coming back. I was shocked when I heard, like, I don't even think I knew he was coming back until Madden 25 came out. And I look on the game, and he's on there. And I'm like, huh? Like, Gonzalez is still on the Falcons? But he came back, and he's a huge addition to that team. And the Falcons are, you know, they just got the – I think – like, do you know what I would give for the Ravens to have the Falcons receivers. I'll take Joe Flacco over Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan's season numbers are better. But it is about what you can do in the playoffs. And Joe Flacco has proven himself last year in the playoffs. 11 touchdowns, no picks. Tied the NFL record up, I believe. And we know Joe Flacco can do it. In the season, he can get the job done. And in the playoffs, he can be spectacular in the playoffs. He's showing that. If he had Matt Ryan's receivers and that playoff time come with those core of receivers, what? Man, Ravens in the Super Bowl every year. But anyway, yeah, man, I think they got the best receivers. Drew Brees doesn't need excellent receivers to get the job done, and he's shown that year and year again. Saints pulled it off. It was a great game. Very, very entertaining. Who else played? The Bucks and the Jets. That was a good game. That was a good game. That came down to the wire. You can't ask for a better finish or a more dramatic finish than that. That was really entertaining. And luckily, when the game I was watching hit went off, I got to see it. And I really did at first, because Tampa Bay was like blowing them out at first, I think. And like I go and look, and it's like it's close, and I'm like, wow. And then the rookie quarterback from the Jets gave a game-winning drive. And when the guy tackled him out of bounds and it was a 15-yard penalty and they kicked that field goal, I was like, wow. I'm not a Jets fan. I'm not a Bucs fan. But I don't really dislike either team. So it was cool to see the outcome. That's just one of those games that you just kind of neutral about. It just don't really matter which way it go. And it was like, it was cool to see it play out the way it did, you know. I was like, I didn't care either way. It was just a good game. But I was scratching my head a little bit because I was like, the games in week one were like some of the games that you would want to see later on in the season. Like, they had so many big games. We want to see, like, when the season starts winding down halfway through and going towards the end, we want to see, like, real good games. And it's like the Ravens versus the Broncos and some other games. I was like, wow, like, I would like to see that in the playoffs. Like, Darrelle Revis playing the Jets? Did I say I'd like to see that in the playoffs? I'd like to see that at the end of the season. Like, you know, like Darrelle Revis going back to New York, right? That's a game that should have been a Sunday night or a Monday night game. People, that's dramatic. You know, Darrelle Revis, I don't care what anybody say. To me, it's by far the best corner in the league. Like, whoever's in second is not a close second. It's a nice little gap space. It's like if you use a point rating system, you would say Darrelle Revis 10 and the next best corner in the NFL probably a 9.5, 9.6, but which is still excellent. But to me, Darrelle Revis is that good. He's that much better than the next best corner in the NFL. Did I say receiver? I'm tripping over here. I think I'm too hot. But Darrelle Revis is the best corner in the NFL by far to me. Now, I wouldn't say he's Deion Sanders-ish. I think he's different. He's different. He's definitely different. He's more physical than Deion. He's not better, though. I mean, nobody. I've never seen nobody cover better than Deion. But he's effective in a similar type way. I mean, like, he's just effective. Like, he can shut down the side of the field the way Deion used to do. You know, when you can shut down a whole side of the field, I mean, that's saying something. You know, that was a good game. And, you know, hey, props to the Jets for pulling it off. Now, that Kansas City Chiefs versus the Jacksonville Jaguars, wow. I mean, I didn't get to see it, but I saw the highlights, and that said, like, the Jaguars had 2 points, which means they had to have gotten a safety. And that's the only points they scored in the whole game at home against the Chiefs. Now, maybe the Chiefs are juiced up and will be that team that slept on, that surprised everybody, and actually to make some real noise this year. I mean, I don't know. I haven't been keeping up with them because I'm sorry. I don't keep up with the teams that are bad. I'm sorry. But it's interesting, you know, seeing 28-2, I know it's the Jaguars, but still you held them to 2 points. That's impressive. And you score 28. If they have another performance like this, I'm going to really start paying attention to them. All I can say is props to the Chiefs, man. It must suck to be a Jaguars fan right now to see that. I mean, but then again, it sucked to be a Jaguars fan over the recent years anyway. But, I mean, to see this happen to your home team against the Chiefs of all teams is like, wow. So, like, props to the Chiefs for putting together a solid performance. And they got the job done. The Seahawks versus the Panthers. That was interesting because I was like, wow, like the Seahawks were like on lock. Like they couldn't like score. I mean, they put together some solid numbers, but they couldn't like score. Like it was crazy. Like the Panthers had them on lock, but then at the end they found a way to get it done. But their defense to hold the Panthers to 7 points at home, to go on the road, I don't care who you're playing. If I don't care what team you are, you can be the 49ers. You could be the 49ers versus anybody. The 49ers versus the Cleveland Browns. And if you go to Cleveland and hold Cleveland, it's just 7 points. That's still impressive. It's impressive, like, to do that on the road. And the Seahawks, I mean, but we know what that defense is capable of from last year. And that's why I'm picking them to go to the Super Bowl, because defense, offense, high-power offense gets you to the playoffs and gets MVP trophies and player of the year and all of that stuff. But solid defense gets you Super Bowls. It gets you Super Bowls. That's how you get to the Super Bowl. That's how you win the Super Bowl, with solid defense. And that's what the Seahawks have. I'm already calling the Seahawks and the 49ers in the NFC Championship. I'm already calling it. And I'm picking Seattle. I'm not a bandwagon person. I'm gonna let y'all know right now. My picks for the Super Bowl is the Seattle Seahawks. But you know what? I'll let y'all know in a second who my AFC team is. I'll let you know when I get to that game. So, the Bengals versus the Bears. The Bengals had the Bears on the ropes, and they let the Bears come back and pull it off. The Bengals From what I saw from the updates, I recall the Bengals definitely having the Bears on the ropes, like they had the game, but they let the Bears come back and the Bears pulled it off. Now, Jay Cutler is a pretty solid quarterback. He kind of reminds me of Joe Flacco, but I do think Joe Flacco was, like, better than him at this point in both of their careers. I definitely think Joe Flacco was better right now, but just kind of reminds me of him. You know what he's capable of, but he'll have, like, an up-and-down season, kind of like how Joe Flacco will. You got to give the Bears their props. I mean, their leader is gone, but they still got the win. Their leader is gone, but they still found a way to hold it together and pull off the win. So props to the Bears. And it was so great for me, once again, to see the Bengals lose, because the Bengals, I think, are probably the second-best team in the AFC North this year. And to see them lose, to know that the whole AFC North is 0-1, and so the Ravens losing their opening game isn't, like, going to really hurt them that bad, because everybody's 0-1. It actually doesn't hurt them at all. It's just embarrassing. But, yeah, that's good to know, man. You know, so it was good. It was nice. Props to the Bears for pulling it off, man, definitely. And the Dolphins and the Browns. I don't even recall seeing the highlights of that game. Or maybe it's just because it's the Dolphins and the Browns, so I didn't pay any attention. But the Dolphins pulled it off. They got the win. And props to the Dolphins. I know they added some solid additions. I know they got, Mike Wallace. Boy, oh boy, I know the terrible Towel fans are really, really missing Mike Wallace right now. Somebody that can really help stretch the defense. They got the job done. Dolphins 1-0. You know, all I can say, since I don't really keep up with those teams, I can hardly name players on those teams. All I can really say is, good win, good solid win. Now, as the season progresses and they show other games, I'm going to really start to learn the other players. A lot of rookies in the NFL right now, good solid rookies. Unfortunately, I don't watch college. Let me just go on record and admit that I don't watch college football. So I don't know the rookies until they make an impact in the NFL. But I respect what they do. I definitely respect what they do. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens this season and what new names, you know, sneak up on people and who really makes some noise as far as, like, players, new players, rookies, and sophomores, you know. Maybe one of the more surprising outcomes were the Lions versus the Vikings. Now, the Vikings were on the roll, but I would choose the Vikings to beat the Detroit Lions because I feel like the Vikings, at least I thought, you know, had a solid defense. But it is week one. I mean, he gave up 34 points, and I mean, you can never really go wrong with Adrian Peterson. I guess it would be nice to have Percy Harvin right now for the Vikings, but, Detroit pulls it off. I mean, you know. Matt Stafford, I think he's a good quarterback. He threw what 4,900 yards or something crazy like that one year. I would have to like check the stats, but I know he had like a solid year. Was it last year or the year before? Something he threw like over 4,000 yards, like close to 5,000 yards. I think he's solid. I would like a lot of teams would love to have Matt Stafford right now. Definitely, you know. But Megatron, he is a beast. Megatron is a beast. He is the Darrelle Revis of receivers in NFL. Like, how, like, I was saying, Darrelle Revis is that 10, and the next best corner is, like, a 9.5. Probably, now, the next best receiver, I think it's closer, because Andre Johnson is phenomenal. I'm not going to lie. And there's a few others. I would say the next best receiver might be a 9.8. And that might be Andre Johnson, the second best receiver in the NFL. But to me, Megatron by far the best. Like, his impact is just crazy. Like, he is so fun to watch, man. He plays the position the way it's supposed to be played. Like, I just love watching receivers that can just go up for it. Like, any receiver that go up for the ball, that's why I like Anquan Boldin. Like, I like receivers that go up for the ball. Like, they don't just beat you with speed down the field. Like, Megatron can beat you that way, but he will go up for it. He will out-muscle you, out-hustle you, out-position you, all of that stuff. I appreciate that element, that technique. Like, that's what being a star receiver is all about. And Megatron, he's got it. Like, everything that a receiver needs to be great, he's got, man. The best receiver, the Jerry Rice to me of the modern football era. And that's a bold statement. But, I mean, he's shown it. The man is spectacular, man. He really is. Adrian Peterson, he's to me by far the best running back in the league. Definitely. The same thing. I would give Adrian Peterson a 10. Like, I mean, just because simply it can't get no better. Now, maybe I would take that 10 down to a 9.9, you know, because of his fumbling issues. I'll say 9.9. I'll take 0.1 off for the fumbling. Now, you know, I know he's been working on it. If he's shown that he's really fixed that and he can go like a whole season without fumbling and still put up those numbers, by far 10. And the only reason why I take 0.1 off is because of the fumbling. That, like, I can't imagine being an NFL safety or corner, like one of the smaller guys. A linebacker is equipped to be able to take down a big man like Adrian Peterson, but like a corner, you know, or a safety, especially a corner. Corners are like the smallest guys on the field. Like, you know, somebody like 5'10", 190, 195, and Adrian Peterson coming at you full steam, and you got to try to bring him down. Wow, man. Heck of a task. But, you know, what I love about the NFL, people do it all the time. Like, it happens. Like, they are so disciplined. Like, you see small guys bring big guys down one-on-one all the time. Like, they are taught, like, how to, like, really use their size in other ways for advantage and still be able to, like, because you're not going to always be able to rely on your other teammates. There's going to come a time when a guy way bigger than you is coming at you full steam. You know, especially if you're a corner or a safety, you're not going to be the biggest guy on the field. The linebackers and the linemen are going to be the biggest guys on the field. So when you see a huge running back coming at you and you got to bring them down one-on-one, a lot of times, that's going to be your position. And for you to be able to do that, and you to be a guy 200 pounds or less and be able to do that, and the guy you got to bring down is like 240, 250, man, that's just how you know greatness. That's just greatness. I mean, you got to be great to get in the NFL, man. I just want to give a shout-out to, like, all of the NFL players. I respect them. I got my teams I like and dislike, and, we all got opinions, and you might clown some teams for performances and all of that, but at the end of the day, I respect every last player in the NFL on the roster. I don't care if they're on the bench. I respect every player. You're doing something that 99.9% of the rest of the world can't do. I respect it. And just because you're big doesn't mean you're a great football player. And just because you're strong doesn't mean you're a great football player, because the mental part is a bigger impact than the strength part. The strength part is a big part, but it's not the full part. The mental is more. Because I don't care how big you are, if you blow an assignment and you got a DeSean Jackson wide open with no safety coverage over the top, that's a touchdown. So it's not just about, like, your size, your mental. Knowing to be the right place at the right time. Understanding that this guy is bigger than you, so you better go low if you want to bring him down. You know, understanding that this guy's out of bounds. If I tackle him now, it's going to be a 15-yard penalty and the game is on the line. We might lose because of me. You know, understanding that this guy is bigger than you, taller than you, can jump higher than you, but he's going for the game-winning touchdown near the sideline. Push him out of bounds as soon as – don't even try to jump with him. He's right there at the edge of the sideline in the end zone. Just wait for him to go in the air. It's a high pass. As soon as he gets to the top of his jump and his hand touches that ball, push him out of bounds. And there's no way he's going to be a touchdown because there's no longer a force-out rule. Mental, understanding the mental aspect. And that's what you got to love about football. I'm a huge basketball fan, too, but truthfully speaking, I love them equally. But to keep it real, basketball is checkers and football is chess, definitely. Like, you can't have a LeBron James-type impact in the NFL. The reason why, because it's too physical. It's too physical. Like, for instance, if LeBron James was a receiver in the NFL, he couldn't be as dominant as he is in basketball. It would be impossible because you're going to get hit too much. You got teams full of people swarming at you. You're going to go up one day and get cracked and fall the wrong way. You're going to injure yourself. It's different. It's chess. Football is chess, and that's what I respect about it. Football is definitely chess. The Oakland Raiders versus the Indianapolis Colts. When I looked at one point, the Colts were like, they were killing. They were killing. And next thing I know, the game is close. But the Colts were, they're a solid team from last year anyway. So they're definitely a solid team. But Andrew Luck was like 10 for 10 at one point, you know, but, I think he finally started throwing some incompletes, but Matthew Stafford, Andrew Luck, he's a solid receiver, definitely. I mean, I said receiver, wow, see, I'm too high, I need some A over here, y'all. He's a solid quarterback, and, if it wasn't for RG3 putting up the performance that he did last year, he already arguably could have done it, but it wouldn't surprise me if he would have got Rookie of the Year last year, if it had not been for RG3, you know. And the Colts were supposed to beat the Raiders, but the Raiders made it close, and I didn't see the game, but I mean, I guess you got to give them props for being able to make it close. I mean, for the Raiders to be able to even keep up with the Colts, who I think are a way better team, I would say maybe that shows that they've gotten better, but not necessarily. It's week one. The Colts are. This is what my prediction score would be for the Colts versus Raiders game. Colts 27, Raiders 16, a touchdown and two field goals. 27-16, you know, maybe possibly even 30-16. So, it's just going to be an interesting season, you know. I think it's going to be some upsets, a lot of upsets this year. I think we're definitely going to see some upsets. And possibly the teams that we're expecting to go to the Super Bowl won't be the ones that go this year, but that remains to be seen. So the Colts did what they were supposed to do, beat the Raiders. 49ers versus the Packers. What a game. What a game. That was entertaining from beginning to end. And if you're a Green Bay fan, I know you're kind of getting frustrated with the 49ers, because, you know, the 49ers beat the Packers last year in the playoffs. And then they beat them again in week one of the regular season. And that's another game I thought that should have been later on. Like, that's such a huge game. How do you open up the season with possibly one of the best matchups you could assemble in the NFL? Like the 49ers versus the Packers? I want to see that on Sunday Night Football, like week 8 or week 9, like week 10 or something. Like, come on, man. Like, don't give away all the – I appreciate them starting out the season with a lot of good games, but don't give too many games like that, you know? Like, it should be, like, maybe two games like that. You know, like, it's understandable if you're going to have a division game. It's just understandable then, because, you know, they're going to see each other again anyway. But, like, the 49ers and the Packers can't meet unless it's in the playoffs, more than likely in an NFC championship. So it would have been nice to see that later on down the road. But, I mean, nonetheless, it was a great game. The 49ers are a very physical team. That being said, the Packers definitely have one of the best offenses in the NFL, and they've shown it. I mean, like, to put up 28 points against the 49ers defense is saying something. Aaron Rodgers, to me, I'm going back and say, to me, is the best quarterback in the NFL at this stage in everybody's career. Yes, I know Peyton Manning threw 7 touchdowns. I'm not trying to sound like a hater, but that was a fluke. I'm sorry. Like, it's a fluke. Let me explain why Aaron Rodgers is better than Peyton Manning and Tom Brady at this point in their careers. Because Aaron Rodgers can break a tackle. He can use his speed to scramble for a first down, something Peyton Manning or Tom Brady can't do, not with a defender on their heels. It still is as accurate as both of them. It makes just as great decisions as they do. His arm, I think, is just as great as theirs, you know. So he's got the advantage with the scramble to add to the addition. To have that arm, and he's a great passer on the run. Like, he can scramble and make a great pass downfield. Like, he's the full package. I think he's the best quarterback in the NFL. I really do. And so I can understand how the Packers could put up numbers against the 49ers because of Aaron Rodgers, and they got some really good receivers. Jordy Nelson, he's a phenomenal. They got great receivers. I think they're missing Jennings, though. I think Jennings not being there is going to hurt them in the long run. But, you know, that's just how it is. Sometimes you got to, you know, move on. And it was just that time. They still a solid team. And I wouldn't be surprised if they get to the NFC Championship. Now, I will be surprised if they got to the Super Bowl, because I think Seattle and San Francisco both have better defenses, and I think defenses is what gets you there. Now, if the Green Bay Packers defense can step up and play like the 49ers defense or the Seattle Seahawks defense, I think they can get to the Super Bowl. I think that's what separates them. They have better offenses than the Seattle Seahawks and the San Francisco 49ers. They had better offense, but their defense is lacking. And I would choose defense over offense, because the 49ers and Seahawks both have really, 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 really talented offenses to match the Packers. Might be a little under their offense, but they could compete offensively, but their defense is what separates it, you know. It's a great game. 49ers pulled it off. They won again. They beat the Packers again. It's a great game. That's what it's all about. Props to the 49ers quarterback, man. I mean, the guy's freaking amazing, man. And that's what I was talking about the whole Anquan Boldin thing, seeing him show off. What, 13 catches for 208 yards? Wow, and a touchdown? Jordy Nelson doing what he usually do, 130 yards receiving, a touchdown. Aaron Rodgers, 333 yards, three touchdowns. Kaepernick, 412 yards, three touchdowns. That is incredible. This is only, what, his second year? Wasn't Kaepernick a rookie last year, I believe? It's amazing, man. Freaking 412 yards and three touchdowns. Man. Them 49ers are going to be a problem this year. I predict the 49ers will be 14-2. I do. And I could predict the Seattle probably being... I think the 49ers will have a better record than the Seahawks. But I think the Seahawks, I still pick them to go to the Super Bowl. But I could see their records being like 49ers 14-2, Seahawks 13-3. Or maybe Seahawks 12-4 and the 49ers 14-2. You know, I don't see the Seahawks being under 12-4. I know they was, what, 11-5 last year. I think they'll be at least 12-4 this year. You know. And that's definitely my pick for the NFC Championship. Man, I tell you, like, I cannot wait for the playoffs this year. It's going to be crazy. I cannot wait. It's definitely going to be crazy. Who else? We almost done. The Cardinals and the Rams. I'm surprised. Like, I definitely picked the Cardinals to beat the Rams. I did. I mean, the Rams were at home. Who the Cardinals got quarterbacking now? Carson Palmer, I believe. Larry Fitzgerald. Because of those two people alone. I mean, Carson Palmer is a phenomenal, but he's a pretty solid quarterback to have. If you're a team like the Cardinals, it's better than what you've had recently. So, I mean... Probably, definitely, I think he's the best quarterback they've had since my boy, Kurt Warner. So, I mean, I'm surprised at the outcome, but I'm not, like, super shocked, but I am surprised. Like, I would have picked the Cardinals to win maybe 30-23. Nah, it's the Rams. Nah, 30-20 is probably what I would have picked that game to be in favor of the Cardinals. So, props to the Rams. They won an opener, and, you know, they beat the Cardinals. Props to them. That's all I can really say, because those are teams that, like I said, I watched the really, really good. I pay attention to the really, really good teams. You know, it's like, it's so much be going on. I mean, you got to be a super, duper, duper, duper diehard football fan to keep up with the teams that suck, too. I mean, that's when you're like, you're a super fan. Like, I'm a super fan. I consider myself a super fan, but you got to be like a quadruple fan to keep up with the teams that suck, because there's so much other stuff going on with other sports and other things you deal with in daily life and so many players in the league. There's a lot to keep up with. So if you can keep up with every last team, you should try to, like, get a job for the NFL or something, because, wow. You know, I do the best I can to keep up with. That's why I pay attention to the teams that make noise. The Giants versus the Cowboys. What a game. That was a really good game, man. That was entertaining. That was entertaining. There's a lot of fluky stuff happening. The Cowboys held it together. I like both teams. I can't even say who I like better. I was so proud of the Giants beating. I hate the Patriots. And to see the Giants beat the Patriots twice in the Super Bowl, especially that year when they were 16-0, I respect them for that. Like, I respect the Giants. I really, really do. It's going to be interesting to see the Giants this year. Like, which Giants team are we going to see? I mean, because even when they get into the playoffs, there's always, like, they're like 9-7. They kind of creep their way to the Super Bowl. They're like that sleeper. They're the big sleeper team. But, all I can say is it was a great game, and the Cowboys, they held it together, and they eventually prevailed. We thought Romo might was going to miss some time, but x-rays were negative on his ribs, and Romo will be back this Sunday. And it was a great game, man. I mean, you can't go wrong with a divisional rivalry like that. That's a game that I thought they probably could have waited for a little later down the season. But, I mean, you want to have some games, you know, like some good games are opening week. But it was very, very entertaining. The Cowboys held it together. I think the Giants will get revenge when they play in New York. I think they'll get revenge, but it's going to be interesting to see. I can see the Cowboys winning the division this year. I can see them winning the division. I could. But let's not forget about the Eagles now, because that Monday night game, the Eagles versus the Redskins, great game. I mean, the Eagles were destroying the Redskins at first. The Eagles had, like, 33 points at, like, what, halftime? And the end of the game with 33 points? Like, the Redskins made a nice comeback, but it was just too little too late. They almost came back, but the Eagles' defense, after playing solid for, like, the first two quarters, finally held it together in the fourth quarter, just enough to hold off the Redskins from getting a game-winning drive. And I thought RG3 looks like he's not full strength. Like, his scrambles was nothing like what I seen last year. I'm thinking, my personal opinion, that they should wait. Like, I think after seeing his performance, they should give from the coach, I think I'm going to say, you know what? Now, he did make some good solid throws in, like, the later on in the game. But to see RG3 performance compared to what we seen last year, something is definitely wrong. I think he's still feeling the effects. I would sit him a couple of games and make sure he's ready to go. I want to see that explosive. I mean, all that money invested into him, you know. Like, I want to – well, he's under a rookie contract. There's so much stuff going on. They always changing stuff. Is that the NFL or the NBA where, like, you know, you can't start out making that much money? I think it's the NFL. So I don't know. It's always something changing. I just know he's the franchise quarterback. Forget how much money he's making. He's the franchise quarterback. No RG3, no success. That's the way I see it. So I'm going to sit him for a couple of games and make sure he's ready and explosive when he comes back. Still was impressive to see him turn his game around and almost bring the Redskins back, you know. And he had to – it's like right now he's like got to be a pocket. He's like, he got to turn himself into a pocket passer because he's not able to, like, scramble the way he was last year. Like, his speed is definitely down. His explosiveness is down, and people are chasing him down that I know for a fact would not have been able to chase him down last year. I think he just needed a little more time, man. But, I mean, if the coach feels like, and he asked RG3, and I'm sure RG3 is like, no, I'm good, just shaking the rust off, whatever, I guess he's going to be more of a pocket passer. And if that's what's going to work for them, then so be it. But it'll be a shame to see him struggle this year or possibly get injured and miss a lot of time or have a season-ending injury because he came back too early. You got to be really, really careful about that when it comes to football. It's definitely a different beast from basketball. Got to definitely be careful when it comes to that. It's going to be interesting to see the outcome of the Redskins season, but I will say I think they're better than what they played in the beginning of the game, and I don't think they'll have a losing record. Now, if they'll get into the playoffs, I don't know, because it looks like the Eagles, if they can stay healthy and they continue that offense they're running, I can see the Eagles getting into the playoffs. I could also see the Cowboys getting into the playoffs. Now, the whole division ain't going to make the playoffs, that's for sure. Somebody is going to end up flopping. The question is who. And if I had to pick as of right now, it would definitely be the Redskins. But once again, it's early, so that remains to be seen. Props to the Eagles. I think a lot of people picked the Redskins to win. And the Eagles pulled it off on a roll. Impressive against a division rivalry who knows them well. Though they do have a new head coach, but good solid win for the Eagles. And I've always been a Vic fan, so that makes me an Eagles fan because Vic is there. It's going to be interesting to see what the Eagles do this year, but I'm willing to bet that they can get into the playoffs. I think, like, if I had to choose two teams in that division, it would be the Cowboys and the Eagles. And I would say the Giants and the Redskins are on the outside looking in. Now, if I had to pick a third team, it would be the Giants. Like, the Redskins is in fourth place for me. And finally, last but not least, we have the Texans versus the Chargers. Wow. How did the Texans do that? Now, remember when I was saying a team, my AFC choice is the Texans. The Seahawks versus the Texans in the Super Bowl this year. A lot of people might find that bold because they say the Texans' defense, as far as, like, their ability to cover high-powered offenses, But they were 13-3 last year? Are you kidding me? You got to have some kind of – I mean, you might get beat for explosive plays, but all teams get beat for explosive plays besides, like, the best defenses in the league, and sometimes they get beat for explosive plays. It happens. It's football. They do have Ed Reed. When Ed Reed does finally suit up, it's going to be interesting to see the impact he has on that defense. I'm picking up, and I said this before the Texans came back and won. I said this before they came back and won. And to see them pull that off was highly impressive. That was highly impressive. They are a solid team. They got a solid quarterback. He isn't I wouldn't call him phenomenal, but he's solid. I mean, he's solid. Like, most teams in the NFL would like to have him. If you don't have, like, a Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, then you would love to have the Texans quarterback. He's definitely solid. 346 yards, 3 touchdowns, Matt Sharp. When you got Andre Johnson to throw too, I mean that's like a cheat code, man. It's like having Megatron, like, you know? Like, it's crazy. That's a big task for any defensive back to try to contain him. But you gotta give them credit, man. They held it together. The Chargers were mopping the floor with them. What was it, like 21? It was like 28-3, and they came back and won. Are you kidding me? It was like the score was like 28-3. I think. Correct me if I'm wrong. Like, I think it was 28-3. I know they were blowing them out, and it was like a. It was like 20. What was it? 28-3 or 28-6 or. It was something. I know they were like they were killing them, and they just came back. And it might have been 28-7. You know what? I want to say it was 28-7, not 20. Yeah, I want to say it was 28-7. And then they came back, and they came back. Yep, and scored. They came back and scored 31 and left the Chargers with 28 points. And, like, they didn't give up another point. Like, that was impressive. So, the Texans, man, like, I don't think a lot of people are picking. I did hear some people picking the Texans to go to the Super Bowl. But I don't think a lot of people are picking them. I think people feel iffy because of their ability to cover, like, the deep threats. And they said they gave up a lot of deep passes. I don't care about that, man. I mean, it matters. But they did get destroyed by the Patriots last year in the playoffs. I'm not going to lie. Like, the Patriots kind of manhandled them. But the Patriots do that to everybody in the playoffs and then get to the biggest game of the season, like either the AFC Championship or the Super Bowl, and choke. That's what the Patriots do. So you can't really be surprised that the Patriots beat the Texans in the playoffs. You know? But I think the Texans get the job done this year. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm a Ravens fan. I want the Ravens to go back to the Super Bowl. I mean, I have faith in my team. I don't want to sound like a hypocrite. I have faith. Yeah, I would never bet it. I would never bet somebody like, yeah, I'm betting money, because that means I have to root for who I'm betting on. I'm not going to bet against my team. I'm a devoted fan. So I want the Ravens to go. But leaving my emotional attachment out of it, I had to pick the Texans to go for the represent the AFC. You know? Phillip Rivers, one thing I got to say about him, I think he's a really solid quarterback, very underrated. The Chargers have not had a lot of success over recent years, but you can't just blame Rivers. If you look at his numbers, he's putting up 30 touchdowns, 28 touchdowns. Like, nothing under 25 touchdowns, like, over, like, the last 5 years, 25 or better. And his touchdown to interception ratio is always solid. Like, one of the most underrated quarterbacks in the league, and I think that's because the Chargers are just not a team that's talked about. Like, I don't know if they ever been that team. I remember when they was in the Super Bowl, like, and they weren't even talked about, I don't think, like that. Like, I don't recall them ever being talked about like that. That's, I don't, they're just one of those teams, like, they don't get talked about a lot. Like, I don't know why. It just, it's like the San Antonio Spurs of the NFL, only they don't have the success over the last decade or so that the San Antonio Spurs have had over the last 15 years that the San Antonio Spurs have had. But they're that team that just, they can, like, the Chargers, I remember when they were, what, 14-2? And their head coach got fired. I was like, "What? Like, are you kidding me?" Like, there, I think there should be a rule. Like, if your coach gets into the playoffs, like, you shouldn't be able to fire him. And if you are, you should have to give him like a huge bonus. If you want to let him go, you should not only pay him the money that you owe him, but for him getting, like, if y'all still in, if the contract is still, now that's one thing. If the contract is over, if he's still in contract, and you let him go, and he makes the playoffs, it should be some type of penalty, like. A team should have to pay, like, an owner should have to pay. Like, the coach made the playoffs. He was still in contract for 2 more years. You let him go. You know, you owe this man $1 million. Like, you know, it should be something like that. I'm sorry. People might think I'm crazy for saying that. No way should you be 14-2 and lose your job. No way. I mean, and you lost to who? The Patriots? The team that's been going to the playoffs, the AFC championships and Super Bowls over the last decade? Are you freaking kidding me? Like, that was crazy. That was crazy. This man lost his job for, like, a 14-2 season. Ridiculous. And if they can go 14-2, I mean, they got talked about that year, but not like a Patriots going 14-2 would get talked about or Colts going 14-2. And, you know, anywhere Peyton Manning go. Now, I bet you if Peyton Manning played for the Chargers, they would be popular just because of Peyton Manning. You know, I'm willing to bet, definitely. But the Chargers just don't have that spotlight. And that's kind of cool. Like, if you're a team that's a really, really good team, you can creep up on people that way. I would rather be on a team that's not talked about, but we're solid, and we know what we're capable of, and everybody's sleeping on us, and we just creep our way right into the Super Bowl the way the Giants do. I would love that. You know? And that's pretty much how I feel, though. You know, so the Texans, that's my team. I picked them to go to the Super Bowl. Even if they would have lost. Bad. Like, if they would have lost, like, 28-7 or 28-10, however much they was losing by the beginning when, you know, they were getting mopped across the floor, like, I still would pick them to go to the Super Bowl because it's week one. You know, just like the Ravens, like, that fluke. You know, like, a lot of these games, week one was flukes. Don't fall in feet into the hype. It's week one. Denver is good, but they're not, like, a 7 touchdown. Well, nobody's going to throw 7 touchdowns every game, but Peyton Manning didn't all of a sudden become better than he's ever been. I mean, he's still the same Peyton Manning. Things played out the way they played out. It is what it is. Don't expect the Denver Broncos to be 15-1 or 16-0 or nothing crazy like that. I'd give them 12-4. I'd give them 12-4, possibly 13-3, possibly 13-3, depending on their schedule, which I have not checked. But, yeah, don't feed into the hype of week one. That's pretty much my point. And so, you know, before I wrap this up, I just want to go over some stats. See who's doing what. And right now, I'm seeing last year's stats. I want to see this year's stats. And remember that I couldn't remember the Patriots tight end name. I can't believe I couldn't remember his name. Aaron Hernandez. That's his name. Yeah, him not being there is big because. They had the best two tight end combination in the league, definitely. And with them two there and healthy, that, you know, I think Hernandez' career is over. From what I'm hearing, it looks like he's probably definitely going to jail. I don't know the facts, so I'm definitely not going to speak on it. All I can say is he was a very talented tight end. And it's definitely an unfortunate situation, especially for the Patriots, because, I mean, I hate the Patriots, but, you know, you don't want to see a team go through that because, like, imagine what that does to the locker room. And, you know, you had such great expectations. And I want to see the best team. Like, I want to see the team at its best. And if, I want to see them go down, but I want to see them go down at its best. But all their key players there, I don't want to be like, well, if they would have had him or would have had him, it would have been different. I don't want to hear no excuses from these other fans. So I want everybody to be loaded. If I had a cheat code to put in where nobody could get injured the whole season, I would keep it that way. I would put it in and watch the best team really, whoever wins will really be, no excuses. The best players will be on the field when it's crunch time. You know? But I guess that would be too much, like, right. So that's 2012. We need to go to 2013. You know, it's just getting, it's so hot over here right now. And I don't have a co-host like I usually do. I'm about to say screw these stats and wrap it up because it's not popping up the way I expected it to. And I'm over here like about to die. I think I talked enough anyway. Just sitting here blabbing my mouth over the past hour, you know. And I'm pretty much talking to myself, you know. So, I mean, it's not like, you know, a whole bunch of people going back and forth. So, I don't think it's really necessary for me to really get into the stats anyway. I mean, I just wanted to really get into, you know, how I felt about week one. I'm so glad that football is back. You know, we've been waiting all year. We finally got it back. And this is going to be very, very interesting to see the outcome this year, to see who does what. You know, no, week one was very exciting. It's going to be interesting. Yeah, definitely. I'm gonna try to get a few people's stats real quick before I wrap it up, though, because there's some very relevant stats if I can get to it without passing out. Whew, need a bottle of water or something. Man, sitting over here trying to find these stats. Well, one stat that I know that everybody knows because it was like the talk of the league is Peyton Manning's 7 touchdown passes. It's still unbelievable to see that. 462 yards, 7 touchdown passes. Joe Flacco threw for 362 yards? Wow, it didn't even feel like it. I guess it didn't with the outcome of the game. I mean, plus he had 2 interceptions. So 362 yards, at least the 362 is nice. Now, if you can cut those interceptions out, you might actually have a game. You know, but I'm definitely not blaming it on Joe Flacco. I'm not. But, you know, 462 yards, 7 touchdowns. That is a cheat code. That's not real. That is a cheat code, man. Like, I still can't get over that. Like, wow. Let's see what Tom Brady did. I'm willing to bet his performance wasn't that solid. 288 yards, 2 touchdowns. That's pretty solid. Now, I don't know if he threw interceptions. It's not showing the interceptions. But, I mean, 288 yards, 2 touchdowns is nice. And some guy named Vereen. Was he a receiver? I don't even know who he is. Let's say 101 yards. Is that? Oh, he's a rusher. He's a running back. And I can't even pronounce this guy's name. Amendola. 104 yards receiving. I mean, Tom Brady can make anybody look famous. Let's just face it. Now, wow, I don't even know. What happened to Fitzpatrick? Like, I don't even know. Emmanuel? Who was that? I don't see. I told you, I don't keep up with, like, you know. I don't even know who the Buffalo Bills quarterback is. He had 2 touchdowns. Why am I even saying what the Buffalo Bills quarterback had? They didn't win. Moving on. Let's see what Drew Brees had. 357 passing yards, 2 touchdowns. Matt Ryan, 304 yards, 2 touchdowns. You can't expect nothing short of you can't expect nothing less from either of them. Solid quarterbacks, 2 of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Hands down, definitely. Russell Wilson, 320 passing yards and a touchdown. That's why I was so surprised, like, that they only had 12 points, because, I mean, to throw 320 yards and only had 12 points to show for it, it's kind of crazy. One touchdown? Kind of crazy. Yeah, so, you know, go figure, but, I mean, a win is a win. And I guess that's all that matters at the end of the day. Andy Dalton, he's a talented quarterback. I don't like him because he plays for the Bengals, but I definitely respect him. You know, he's a solid quarterback. And their receiver, Green, I forgot, A.J. Green. Yeah, A.J. Green, he is one of the best. You know what? He reminds me of Megatron. He does. I definitely wouldn't say he's as great, but he really reminds me of Megatron. He goes up for the ball. He makes explosive plays. I think he's one of the best receivers in the league. He's definitely top 10. He's definitely top 10, possibly top 5. He's a really, 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 really talented receiver. 162 yards receiving, 2 touchdowns. I mean, this man, you know what I would give for the Ravens to have him? I mean, he's solid, man. He really is. Definitely. Moving on. I'm only going to read the stats from the teams, the key players that I know of. Adrian Peterson, he only had 93 yards rushing? Wow, 2 touchdowns. I remember he had that really big long rush. What happened? Like, I thought he had like 200 yards receiving or something. He really only had 93 yards receiving? But he had a receiver, Jay Simpson. I don't know who that is, but he had 140 yards receiving. That's solid. Like, that's nice. Reggie Bush with 90 yards receiving. Matt Stafford with 350 yards passing and 2 touchdown passes. Nice, man. But I'm saying, that boy Stafford, he's underrated, man. He's underrated. Definitely underrated. And let's see the stats. Let's see what Aaron Rodgers. I remember already going over that. Aaron Rodgers, 333 yards passing, 3 touchdowns. Kaepernick, 412 yards passing, 3 touchdowns. Anquan Boldin, 208 yards receiving. Jordy Nelson, 130 yards receiving. Oh, man, it's just a solid football, man. That's all you can really say. It's not even that the defense. Well, the Packers defense, I don't think is that great. But it's not so much. You can't just say like they have horrible defenses per se. Well, put it like this: the 49ers don't have a horrible offense at all. A defense. I think they got one of the best defenses in the league. It's just the Packers. You know, it's just talent. I mean, talent. What more can you say? Eli Manning, 450 yards passing. Wow, 4 touchdowns. But I know he had some picks, and that was big. I did not know Eli Manning had 450 yards passing and 4 touchdown passes. If he wouldn't have had those picks, they probably would have definitely won. But I'm not blaming Eli Manning fully. Like that last pick, when they were on that game-winning drive, and the running back didn't like turn his head around, and they got and it ended up being a pick six. That sealed it. That did seal it. I can't say that was so much Eli Manning's fault. Partially his fault for not making sure the running back had his head turned around. But at the same time, it's a system. You know, it's like clockwork. You got huge defenders coming at you. I mean, like 100 miles an hour. So like you got, it's all about timing. Like the running back has to know that, look, if this happens, if you see a blitz, turn your head around instantly, get ready for a check down. Like, you got to know this instantly. So, and I don't know who that running back is, but I think he's either a rookie or inexperienced, and his timing wasn't right. You know, so it's partially Eli Manning's fault for not waiting, but at the same time, I think it's I would probably give more of the blame of the running back, because Eli Manning is a solid quarterback. That's just not a mistake, a mental mistake. You see Eli Manning make. It had to be the running back did not do what he needed to do in that situation to get his head around in time. And as a result, pick six, game over. 450 yards passing. Wow. Eli Manning, he gets slapped. He's definitely slapped on. Victor Cruz, 118 yards receiving, 3 touchdowns. The man is freaking incredible, man. He's incredible, man. He's his own beast in his own way. You know, he's his own caliber in his own category. He's spectacular. Like, I'm a big fan, man. I'm a big fan. One of the best receivers in the league. Another receiver that I would say is top 10, definitely. Victor Cruz is a beast. Tony Romo is a solid quarterback. He gets, like, the Dallas Cowboys are America's, not only America's team, like America's sweetheart. Like, because everybody's a Cowboys fan. Like, every female I know, they like football. Cowboys. Like, everybody loves the Cowboys. Like, every female. I'm like, what is it? Like, is it their colors? You like the star? The star's pretty? Like, why? What attracts people to the Cowboys? I don't have no problem. I actually like the Cowboys. But, like, for them to be America's sweetheart, to me, it's just like, wow. Like, what is so appealing about them? I'm just curious. I really want to know. They love them, especially females. Don't even know what a pass interference call is, but, you know, you're rooting for the Cowboys, and they're not even your home team. You live in Boston, and you're rooting for the Cowboys. Like, I don't get it. Like, I don't know. That's the one thing about females, man. I don't understand. Like, females, like, are so, like, they are not dedicated. Like, the fellas, most of the time, the fellas will root for our home teams, but the females, it's like they want to root against their home team just to really piss off their boyfriends and piss off the guys, you know, their male friends and their boyfriends. And they just want to piss us off. So it's like they'll pick the other team. Like a female will live in Washington but say, oh, I'm an Eagles fan, you know, just because she knows it's going to make all the guys mad. And it's like females be mad because, like, they be jealous because fellas watch football on Sundays and don't pay them no mind. So it's like, oh, I hate that. So, oh, you know what? I know how to fix him. I'm going to sit here and cheer and go crazy and make out I like this other team just to piss him off. I don't know why. Go figure, but it's females we're talking about. So, you know, it's I guess it's just not meant to easily understand. I really do feel like just to really piss the fellas off. But as far as the Cowboys, as far as the Cowboys, I still don't know. I know some guys that's on the bandwagon too, but mostly females. They say they're America's team. Love the Patriots. Where red, white, and blue, why aren't they America's team? Who knows, right? Go figure. You might as well let the Cowboys wear red, white, and blue. They're going to be America's team. But they are. No, but it's funny they're America's team, but they can't never get it done. They haven't got it done since the Emmitt Smith and Dion, Michael Irvin days, you know, Troy Aikman. But I don't know. I mean, like I said, I don't want to sound like a Cowboys hater. I like the Cowboys. I just don't get it. But, you know, it is what it is. Romo, 263 yards passing, 2 touchdowns. See, he does what Romo does. Like, you know, Romo is a solid quarterback. He gets that attention. He gets a lot of pressure. There's a lot of pressure on Romo. Because they're America's team and all the publicity and stuff, he gets a lot of heat. And he only puts up solid numbers, like, pretty much every year. That's the reason why he signed that big contract. They need some defense. And it would be nice to have some really solid receivers. So, we're not complaining about the Ravens team, but I see, like, the talent that Romo has surrounding him. I would say we have more talent overall, so I can't complain too much. But their number one receiver is injured, though, so that plays somewhat of a role, you know. Man, I would hate to be Romo. Just too much pressure, man. It's definitely too much pressure. But before, you know what? The heart of a champion. A champion will find a way to get it done. So. So, you know, I'm sure he loves it. Michael Vick, 203 yards passing, 2 touchdowns. Like I said, Michael Vick is my boy, so I'm rooting for whatever team he's on. You know, as long as he's not playing against my team, I'm rooting for him. LeSean McCoy, I think he's one of the most underrated running backs in the league. 184 yards rushing and a touchdown. That's the man. He just puts up solid numbers. Like, the way he breaks people's ankles and makes people miss is phenomenal. It's phenomenal. He reminds me of Barry Sanders. Now, I'm not saying he's as good as Barry Sanders, of course. That's a crazy statement to make. But he reminds me of him. He does. Like, he might be the closest thing the NFL has to Barry Sanders as far as breaking ankles. Boy's a monster. One of the best running backs in the league. I'm going to say top five, actually. If he can stay healthy, top five. Definitely. The boy is a beast. DeSean Jackson is definitely a solid receiver. I like him. I mean, he makes big, solid plays down the field. I want to say that DeSean Jackson is possibly top receiver in the league. Definitely top 20 by far. Top 15, I would say. Possibly top 10. I'd like to really overlook all the receivers in the league and really... It's debatable, but I say that DeSean Jackson is possibly top 10, definitely top 15. RG3, rookie of the year, for a reason, solid. The boy is nice. 329 yards passing after what was a rough performance to start out, came back. 329 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, a couple of picks, I think. I don't know why they don't show the picks on here, but I know he had at least one. I want to say he had probably two. Two or three picks. I know he has some picks. At least a pick. But, I mean, 329 yards, nice. 2 touchdowns, nice. Picks are no-no, but they happen. It is what it is. And I believe we touched on the Texans' Chargers stats. Saw 346 yards passing, 3 touchdowns. Andre Johnson, 146 yards receiving. Solid. I mean, when you got Andre Johnson on your team, it's almost like a cheat code. Phillip Rivers, 195 yards passing, 4 touchdowns. Phillip Rivers, one of the most underrated quarterbacks in the NFL. Antonio Gates is a Hall of Fame bound tight end. And, I mean, when he's healthy, he's a big, big threat. He's a beast. Vernon Davis for the 49ers, too. I just got to say, as far as tight ends, the boy is incredible. He's got wide receiver speed. But he's got a tight end size. Fast, explosive. He's got great hands. Though he does drop passes sometimes, he's a solid. I would love to have him. And that's pretty much what it is, man. That's pretty much my wrap up on week one. Yeah. So it's time for me to go down here and get something to drink before I pass out. I've been sitting over here sweating bullets since the show started. But, you know, the time has come to wrap it up. I just really, really enjoyed week one of the NFL. I can't wait to see what week two holds. And you know what? Why not? Why not just go ahead and make some predictions for week two? Why not? I might as well, right? Shoot, I did all this talking. I might as well just go ahead. And see who plays week two and then make my predictions. Let's see who plays week two. I'm going to try to make this really fast. Jets Patriots, I think that's a Thursday night game. And the Patriots are home. I'm picking the Patriots to win that. Rams at Falcons. I mean, that's a no-brainer. Falcons all day. Blowout, probably 37-17. Chargers, Eagles. I'm picking the Eagles to win that. Especially since the Eagles are home. Cowboys, Chiefs. I'm picking the Cowboys. I know the Chiefs are hyped up about to get week one. I don't know if it was a fluke or not, but I'm picking the Cowboys to win that, even though the Cowboys are on the road. The Dolphins at the Colts. I'm picking the Colts to win that at home, definitely. The Titans at the Texans, I'm definitely picking the Texans to win that. Dominant performance. They're not going to have to come back this week. It will probably be Titans defense looked pretty solid. I don't think the Texans will have 40 points, but 27-13 in favor of the Texans. Packers, Redskins, definitely Packers going to Packers home too. Redskins, I think, going to start the season 0-2, but I think they'll bounce back and probably end up being at least 7-9. But I give them 8-8, but at least 7-9. Browns at Ravens, definitely the Ravens are going to probably run, especially after the performance they put up Thursday night. I think the Ravens will run the Browns out of Baltimore, and I think it's going to be a blowout. I say 30-13 Ravens. I think they got something to prove now. Bills versus the Panthers. Bills at home. I say the Bills are going to take a win. 23-17 Bills. And that's kind of a bold statement because I do think the Panthers are really a better team. Bills at home, I give them the benefit of the doubt. I don't always go who I think is the better team, depending on what happened, who has momentum, who has something to prove, all of that good stuff. Bears, Vikings. Bears at home, I'm going to say the Bears start off 2-0. I'm going to say the Bears. Saints, Buccaneers. Saints on the road. I know the Bucs can usually, a lot of times, the Bucs play the Saints outstanding at home, their division rivals. I'm going to say this time the Saints still won on the road. I'm going to say the Saints will still win on the road and be 2-0. The Bucs do have something to prove after losing to the Jets the way they did, but I'm going to say the Saints going to still win on the road. Yep. So Saints 2-0, that would make the Bucks 0-2. Now, I will say the Bucks win. I won't be surprised only because the Bucks are at home and they play the Saints well at home. But I'm picking the Saints. Detroit Lions and the Cardinals, I'm picking the Lions. Megatron, Stafford, weapons, high-powered offense, Fitzgerald, the Cardinals. I can't say their offense is high-powered, even though Fitzgerald is one of the best receivers in the league. He's definitely on the level of Megatron. He's just, probably not as long. But I would put him on that level. He's one of the few receivers I think is on the level. He just doesn't have the quarterback to throw to him. Like Carson Palmer, I don't think is a Matthew Stafford. I don't. And that's the reason why I don't think Fitzgerald is able to put up Megatron numbers. And I'm picking the Lions to win that one on the road. I'm picking the Lions to win that. Yeah. The Lions will be 2-0, I think. That would be pretty impressive for them. The Jaguars versus the Raiders. Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me? I'm picking the Raiders at home to win that. I'm picking the Raiders. Broncos at Giants. I'm going to pick the Giants. And I know I'm a little biased because I'm a Peyton Manning rival. Like, I just like Peyton Manning. I respect him. And he's by far one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game. I would never take that from him. But I always had to root against him. I just hate Peyton Manning as far as a competitor. But, you know, I love him for what he brings to the sport. I respect him. I respect him 100%. So, you know. Did that make me a hater? I don't think so. I mean, everybody got their rivals. Like, people who hated Michael Jordan, what the heck? Like, I can hate Peyton Manning, right? I'm picking the Giants to win that. I'm probably biased by saying that, but I do think the Giants, they're that sleeper team. They're capable of winning games against the big teams, like the best teams. They're capable of doing it. I mean, they beat the 16-0 Pats. I mean, come on. Like, I'm picking the Giants. Call me biased or not. I'm picking the Giants to win. I'm picking the Giants. Of course, the Broncos win. I wouldn't be surprised. I'm picking the Giants to win. 49ers at Seahawks. Like I told you, that's my prediction for the NFC Championship. I'm picking the Seahawks. But I definitely wouldn't be surprised if the 49ers can win. But that 12th man, that stadium in Seattle is going to be rocking. The Seahawks play great at home. I think the Seahawks will win. I think the 49ers will win when Seattle goes there. I do, you know. But I think I think the Seahawks will win. I'm definitely rooting for the Seahawks. That's my boys right there. That's my boy. I like the 49ers. I like the Seahawks better. Seahawks are my boys. Arguably my second favorite team in the NFL at this point. I think they're probably my second favorite team. I'm picking the Seahawks to win, but I wouldn't be surprised if the 49ers win. And last but not least, for Monday Night Football, you got the Steelers versus the Bengals, and the Steelers are just not looking good. No Mike Wallace. Starting center, Pouncey, is out. It's not looking good for them. I'm picking the Bengals to win that. I'm picking the Bengals to win. I think the Steelers will be 0-2 for the first time that I can ever remember. The Bengals will be 1-1. Everybody in the AFC North lost week one. The Bengals will win. I'm predicting the Bengals to win. I'm going to say, I say 24-17. They win by a touchdown, but they'll win. Ben Roethlisberger will make some impressive plays, break some tackles. You know how he do. Some solid plays will be made to bring them into the game, to bring it close, but I think the Bengals will prevail. I definitely think the Bengals will prevail. Matter of fact, if the Bengals win by 10 or more, I wouldn't be surprised. But since it's the Steelers, you can never fully count them out. They a team that is capable of facing adversity and still putting together a solid performance. I'm going to say 24-17 in favor of the Bengals. And that's my prediction, so let's just see what happens. And with that being said, it's time for me to get out of here. So, yeah, man, that's my prediction. It's your boy, Tay Real, man, and it's Real Talk Radio. You know, we got some more solid shows coming for y'all. I should have my co-host back for the next show. I mean, I'm not even going to do the next show without my co-host. So it's either co-host back on those shows. So, you know, I mean, sitting here talking for this long to yourself is like so hot. Like, I'm so hot. I'm talking so much, thinking so much. It's crazy. But, you know, I do it for you guys to entertain. So that's my picks for week two. And that's my summary for week one. It's your boy, Tay Real. It's Real Talk Radio, week one review of the NFL opening season. I'm out of here.